Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 51 of 150. Hustler Casino Live 5-2-22, part 2 of 3. Listener note, if you would like to hear everything that happens in my life, all my session reviews, and all the interviews I do with guests such as Garrett Adelstein, Doug Polk, Marley Cordero, Lyman, Matt Moore, and others, head on over to patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer and sign up to become a patron, and do it right now. That way you can get the context to the session I'm about to review. You will hear why I'm so tired, so worn out, and so damn thirsty to start this session. You also get membership to an online community of communal folk called DGAF Community. Okay, now let's spew in front of thousands on the internet the session. So typically there's a 30-minute countdown. On this day, there was a 24-minute countdown. This came on the heels of the Mr. Beast show on Sunday night, the biggest event in poker live streaming history. And it's just a few hours from the conclusion of that. So everyone that was involved in that is going to be tired and feeling the come down from an emotional high. And so all the chip counts are blank to start the show. And it's just pretty funny. It's real. One of the things I love about this show is just real. It's so well produced that you get to, it's reality television. And so all the chip counts are blank. I thought that was funny. And it takes a long time to start. We're just sitting there and it tells the story, doesn't it? Let's start off with my best play. First hand that I'm going to play. Well, it's 30, if you want a timestamp, it's 30 minutes and 55 seconds. So show just started. And there's a player named Sparks, two to my right. Or at this point, he's just on my direct right because I'm the 8, he's in the 6, and no one's in the 7 to start the game. And he opens, and I have Jack 10 offsuit, and we're deep. We're 7K effective. And I 3-bet. Why? Well, the patrons know because they listened to the lead-up to this session review. I got some shit in my personal life making me angry. I gotta take it out on someone. Also, the beginning of a show is the best time to make moves and catch people a little out of sorts. And this guy is going to be the best player that I'm gonna be playing against on this night. So set the tone early and keep him from opening too many hands. And that's just some poker pro shit right there. And it's not very often that you get a poker pro on our show. But he fits that description, and anyways, that's why I 3-bet a hand I don't typically 3-bet with. Jack 10 offsuit, it was a reasonable spot. Hijack is where he opened, cutoff is where I 3-bet. It's reasonable, it's not standard. And he opened to 50, I went to 180, he called $410 in the pot. And the flop comes Jack 9 with two spades. I flop trips, not bad. He checks, I bet 150, and he calls, and when he calls, I just really think he's light. And the rest of the show, he's going to be harder to read, but it's the very first hand, or it's just, I don't know if it's the very first hand dealt, but it just got going. So he's going to be easier to read here, and I can tell he's light. If I thought he was strong, I would go for three streets, obviously. Or if I thought he had a flush draw, I would go for three. I would bet the turn. I just think he's light. And anyways, when he calls, you see me yawn. And that's not acting. That's me not sleeping much and driving up early and doing a podcast on the way and then hosting and going to check into my hotel and then coming back and playing the session. So I just yawned. You don't want to do that at a table. It's just what happened. Turns a six. And so it's Jack-Jack, 9-2 spades, turn six. I don't think he has anything. He checks. I'm going to check back here, hopefully induce something on the river. And the river's a four of spades. The front door flush gets there. He bets 350. This is pretty easy. You just call here. There's no point in raising. I don't think he's going to value bet, call a worse hand than Jack-10 offsuit here. And anyways, he bet 350, and I called, and he turned over ace-10 offsuit, and I slow rolled him. I said, oh, fuck, does the 10 play? Just being an idiot. And that's how you get a show going. And it's nice to run hot. Jack 10 against ace 10. You flop trips. Not bad. Good start. And then you can see that I'm self-medicating. And that's, you'll see my frequency of drinking is just so much greater, or has been on stream, than it is when I normally drink. And there are several reasons for that. One is I'm working so hard. When you see me on stage, that's my one night to decompress, which is maybe not the smartest, but maybe not the dumbest either. And the other thing is I'm still not used to playing on stream. I've always been anonymous, and that's why I've worn sunglasses the entire time. I don't think I typically wear sunglasses. I don't wear them in my hosting games. I've been an anonymous storyteller for a long time, and I'm still adjusting to playing under the bright lights. And that's what those frequent sips are. And, you know, just trying to catch a buzz, to be honest. And it's time for my worst play. Great. My first hand was my best play, and the second hand play will be my worst play. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do, I think, two worst plays and two best plays in this drop, which is going to cover the first half of the session, the first 2.5 hours of the stream. And so at 34.50, I open plus two to 120 because Barry straddled 10-20-40. And this game will become officially 10-20-40 soon. And I think it should just always be that. I don't know. I need to talk to Ryan, see what he thinks about that. But I just think it should always be 10-20-40 and not 10-20. Maybe we can get rid of the ante. I don't know. But anyways, Barry straddled. Barry's awesome. And I went to 120 with ace-king and Drew on my direct left, who I go way back with. He goes to 300, and that's just a weak sizing. It's a good hand, weak sizing. And he bought in for 4K. This is the first hand he's played. It folds back to me, and I have ace-king. I'm obviously going to put more money in. And the question is how much? I opened to 120. He went to 300, folded back to me. He's got 3,700 behind. And I just don't know. I'm not locked by any stretch. It's working as much as I do on as many projects as I do. I'm having like cognitive issues where I just can't think. I can't fucking come up with the right sizing here. And you got to play fast. And so you don't have time to come up with it. So I just said, fuck it, 1,000. if I'm locked or just even a little more in rhythm, I'm not going to 1,000 here. If I open a 120 and he goes to 300 and it's 4K effective to start the hand, I'm going to go small, or I'm just going to jam this shit. And I think I know either one's better than going to 1,000. And what you want to do going smaller is get action from dominated hands and have some room to play after the flop. If you go to 1,000, there's going to be 2K in there and he's going to have 3K left. And then you just have no room to play and you're out of position. I don't like it. And anyways, it's 800 was probably where I would have gone to had I thought longer. I'm never gonna think too long in these, you know, pretty basic spots just because I'm tired and shit. No, so it's not the end of the world. Getting $1,000 in preflop with, it's just when you don't flop anything, you're just in no man's land. And anyways, he called and there's 2,090 in there. It came Jack 8-4, two clubs and a spade. I didn't have the ace of clubs or the king of clubs. And I checked, and he bet 1,500. And he had 1,500 behind. And this is the no man's land that I was worried about. And I saw him. I don't study the players, but I commentated when he played recently, and he did the same exact thing with pocket sevens, and then he called off when someone shoved, and so I just folded. And he's a very perceptive player, actually, this Drew. He goes for reads and whatnot, and anyways, he's not putting a 1500 and folding with any pair. I have no bluff there. And I thought about jamming, and I was like, is it too spewy to just put in the... It probably isn't too spewy to put in the money, but it felt like it. And the problem is preflop, to be honest. You just don't want to put yourself in situations... A jam would have actually set the tone for like, yeah, right, man. And and then you don't show your cards, and yeah, you had ace-king, but no one knows. But I think if I'm just trying to play the hand well, I make it 800. Just a small 4-bet. And leave some chips behind, you know, put at least let us have twice the pot effective behind. And yeah, so what? The next hand, I go to open a 120 and Barry and Sparks call. So the straddle's on 10-20, the $20 big blind ante, $40 straddle. I raise to 120 with King Jack offsuit. Barry and Sparks call out of position, and it comes 7-3 queen. They check, I check, turns an ace, they check, I bet 200. It doesn't matter, neither of them had anything, they both folded, but Barry said, nice turn. So at least, it's nice when you're repping something and someone actually thinks you have it. And he thought I hit the ace, and I played it like someone who hits the ace, and it didn't matter, they didn't have anything. But it's nice when someone reads you for what you're selling, and you'll see that often in this session, that won't be the case. People just don't give a shit. They're just not folding a pair or whatever. And anyways, the next one is 4140. And DP, the three seat, I didn't know anything about him. It turns out it was his first time ever playing over a $300 buy-in. He bought him for $10,000. And he's from the Temecula area. He's a nice guy. I didn't know anything about him. And he opens late, and Barry calls on the button. And I just call... Like, I don't know enough about him. I have queen six offsuit, just an over defend. And the flop comes 10-4 deuce, all hearts. And I have the queen of hearts. And there's 210 in there. And I check, and DP checks, and Barry bets 120 into 210. And I call. I got the queen high flush draw, and DP folds. The turn is a three, and I check, and Barry checks. And there was a three of hearts. And so I made a queen high flush, the board paired. It's going to be hard for Barry to call me with much, so I'm going to size way down here and hope that he makes a really light call or I induce a bluff. And if he bluffs, if he has the goods, he's probably going to get paid. Maybe I'll be able to read the difference between him raising with the goods versus a bluff. But anyways, I just bet 80, and he calls, and he just had a 4. So I made a flush, and he just had a 4, which is a really thin... a really thin bluff catch. And then he took his 80 back, which is totally fucking fine. I've had many drinks with Barry, and that's the culture. Oh, fuck you for betting 80 there. I'm taking my 80 back. You can have it. Perfect. I don't care. And that's kind of the culture, the high stakes culture, not the nosebleed stakes. The nosebleed stakes is fucking cutthroat. There is some of that to it, but it's just, I'm talking about the where you can win money, but you're not making millions a year, but you can make really good money. High stakes, 10, 20, 40, this level is, you kind of like, you bet 80 and he calls and he says, I'm taking it back. He took it back, have it. And then I talked about getting fired because I wasn't commentating, and I make jokes about how I'm going to go work at Live at the Bike. I don't know how those go over with the powers that be at Hustler Casino Live. I assume they're fine with it. It's just, I think everyone that's hired me, meaning Ryan, Nick, and Sean, just know that I joke around a lot, and I'm pretty unabashed, and I think they like it overall. I don't know. They haven't told me, shut the fuck up about Live at the Bike on our stream. Which, if they did, I'd say, yeah, that's stupid. I shouldn't be talking about that. And I probably shouldn't be talking about it on the podcast, but I just talk about what happens. 46-30, Barry and Sparks limp for 40. I go 300 on the button for my man, Johnny Steven. Jack Deuce officer. He calls that hand duct tape. And I don't know. I understand the duck is the Deuce is a duck. I don't know why duct tape, but he calls it duct tape. Jack Deuce offsuit. It seems like some weak hands in front of me. Just, you know, they limp 40. I'll just make it 300. Like, Barry limps whatever, and Sparks is like, well, I have a kind of playable hand. I'll get in there. I'm on stream. And I go to 300 with Jack 2, and Drew calls from the small blind, and these guys call. The flop comes to King 5 Deuce. There's 1,280 in there, and I bet 640. So at least I wanted to bet half, and I got the pot correct, and I passed the test. I said Drew's very perceptive. You can see him looking at me. And he had pocket sixes. I'm surprised he folded to that one bet. It wasn't a great situation, but he read me for strong, which is what I wanted him to read me as, and that's nice. I won't succeed a bunch throughout the rest of the session, but I thanked Lauren for giving me a great hand there. And then the next hand, I opened 9-3 offsuit in the cutoff. I promise you, nothing makes you feel more alive than sipping on a beer and opening 9-3 offsuit in the cutoff when you've been one of, like, the winningest poker pros since the boom. It just feels fucking great. It just feels so fucking great. Like, yeah, I'm going to 3X this 9-3 offsuit. It just feels, you feel fucking alive. And they're talking about some shit that sometimes, you know, the table talk isn't my cup of tea. They're talking about comedians, and I don't know. I've had this weird thing. I don't think comedians are funny. I think a few of them are hysterical. I think many of them aren't funny. At least to me, they're not. It just seems contrived and whatever. And so I need my own little escape. And so just sip on my beer and open the 9-3 offsuit. You just feel fucking alive. And it's funny. You can see Lauren's, like, perturbed a little bit. She worked super late the night before, and now there's this game. This is not a small game, but compared to what Mr. Beast and them were playing, and it is. And this is just stuff I'm seeing when I'm watching it back, which I do for now. I watch back the whole stream, and I pause it to get timestamps and to tell you the action. Anyways, Alan Richardson defends my 9-3 offsuit open. And it comes King Jack 10, and he checks. I check back, and I figure he'll check again a lot, and I can just bet with my 9-3 and win on the turn. And the turn is a Jack, and he leads. Is that right? King Jack 10, Jack. Yeah, I think so. And he leads, and 100, and I call, and I'm just floating, obviously, and I can do whatever on the river. And the river is an ace for King Jack, 10 Jack, ace, I believe. And I think he had ace Jack and he led again. I just folded. So I like floating often. And then when you get new information, you just gotta abandon ship. You know, you gotta, like the Titanic. And I don't know. That's not, you know, that's not like foreshadowing anything. So, what? I think he had a boat. Whatever. He had 9-3 offsuit beat. But I can't tell you how fucking good it felt to open that hand. Just, you look down, you got 9-3 offsuit, and you're like, 3X. It just feels fucking pure. I don't know. But the very next hand, Barry's talking about how he said he's lost 20 sessions in a row. And I tell him he's just running bad, of course. He limps under the gun. Sparks goes to 200. And I just call with Queen Jack of Hearts. Is this a 3-bet? Well, it could be, but I like flatting here, and I don't need to say why. But I like flatting here for several reasons, and it's four-way action, and I have 38% equity, and I flop. Nothing right. That's right. Thank you, Kanye. If you didn't know, I have some people that helped me out with this show. It's not a one-man podcast. No, there are several men and at least one woman working on it pretty regularly. And I didn't flop anything on the Queen Jack of Hearts. And it's just time to make a hand. And when I fold, I ask Lauren when her push is. And am I being, I'm doing this as a joke, right? Like, when's your push? The thing, like, the superstitious guy is going to say at the table, it's not sincere at all. But I also realize I need to stop doing this shit with her. It doesn't, I don't know why. This has been my... I'm just always, like, having fun and being light, and people can't tell when I'm serious or not, and I just need to stop with that. I think we're just... She's a professional dealer. She's, you know, very good at what she does, pretty serious, pretty whatever. And I should just not include her in the bits, I guess. I think. I don't know. And also, I wrote, Ravers should care about the game. He's commentating, and he's got a lot of potential to be a really good commentator. And I said, man, I'm going to help you become that. And is it kind of weird for me? I'm new. I've probably done less than 3 months of commentating total. But I think I know what, or I'm learning what's good and what's not. And part of the way I learn is by critiquing the job he does, because this is the only show I watch all 5 hours of, because I'm taking notes. And he's talking about the game the night before. And this is very... like, honest and real, right? He was there the night before with Mr. Beast and Tom Dwan and Ninja and Slime and Alexandra Botez and Phil Hellmuth and whoever else. And it was a huge moment. And this is the letdown. But this isn't a small game. And anyways, it doesn't matter. This Monday night show is going to be bigger than any other show. I don't know. When I found out I was going to be playing on stream, it just came to me pretty quick that, like, I want the challenge of let the show that I play on, I'll make it bigger. I'll make it the second biggest show, second most popular show of the week quickly with the help of other people, right? I need a partner in crime on stage. Hopefully that'll be Barry. And I need to work with Raver, with giveaways and whatnot. And also I'm going to tell him my honest feedback, because I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm trying to be the opposite of a dick, and I know he appreciates. Doesn't care about the game. He's saying, like, this is boring. He's reading. People in the chat are saying this is boring compared to last night. Well, yeah, but so what? You have to care about what's going on the screen. I'm in there a lot and don't care. And how do I do? I drink sugar-free Red Bull, and then I care, or I just learn to care. Anyways, at 59:30. They limp my straddle, and I have a read on DP that he's strong in this hand. I don't know what it was, so I am going to fake raise. That old thing, like, when it gets back around to me, I'm going to fake raise and check, because I want him to think, oh, this is great, this guy's going to raise. Just, that's the culture of this game. Anyways, something took a long time, and so I just checked fast and didn't fake raise. And he had kings. My read was right, and I didn't, you know, had king, ain't flop, nothing. The next hand is 101-26. DP limps, and this time I don't think he's strong, and Spark limps. And I go to 120. I go to 200 with ace-10 offsuit. And then Drew behind me goes to 600. And I think it's a good hand, probably a dominating hand. They fold. I fold to the 3x, ace-10 offsuit out of position. He had ace-jack suited. Okay. 105-25, Barry limps. Seems pretty weak. I go to 200 with 10-5 offsuit. That's not a great hand. Drew calls in the small blind. Barry calls. Guess what? I have the best hand heading to the flop. That's pretty awesome. 10-5 offsuit. You make it 200. You get the small blind to cold call and the limper to call. You get the best hand. I don't remember what they had. But it came king 9-6, two spades and a club. They checked. I checked back. And the turn was a 9 of spades. Barry bet. And he had a flush. And we folded. And then the very next hand after that, Sparks opens to 120, 10-20 with a $20 big blind ante, $40 straddle, opens 120. I call queen six of spades. It's pretty loose. It's a pretty loose call. I think it's better than a three bet here. And it folds probably best. And whatever. I just called, and then RC. That's Celine Dion's son in the small blind. I think she wrote the main song for that movie, Titanic. He three bets in the small blind, and we fold. And I wrote, full ring is such a joke. It is kind of a joke. You cannot flex your muscles in a full ring game. Nine-handed game, I'm going to try every single time. But I've done this my whole career where it's like, You're just spewing. You're playing against a good hand, and you have a bad one every time. And it's just a... The real poker is shorthanded. Like, okay, well, you can't just win by being a fucking grinder right now. You can't just win by folding. You got to win by thinking and having more courage. That's real poker to me. I guess this is poker too, but it's a fucking joke. I'm tilted. I don't know. I'm already tilted a little bit. Barry limps under the gun. I got a 300 with 8-6 offsuit. And someone 3-bets. I don't remember who, but I said I had ace queen and folded. And then whatever. I started. Barry flopped a flush, like his, I think his third flush already. And the next thing is a comment that's pretty funny. No one reads the chat as much as Raver does. I mean, reads it out loud. And he reads my little brother's name. And he's doing, so Raver does some things very well and some things I think he could do better, and like all of us. But also on a personal level, I appreciate the shit out of how much he promotes my podcast. I don't ask him to. I never promote it when I'm in the booth. But he does, and I'm not going to complain about it. And then he says, let's see how many patrons are in the chat. And then I assume the chat's always turned off by the time I watch the show. But I assume people are in there saying stuff. And he says, my little brother. And he says, my little brother said, lowest tier patron, which is just funny thing to say. And that's Gaff. I interviewed him in season 1 or 2. And he's a character. He's just chiming in that he's lowest tier patron. I don't know. When I heard that, when I was reviewing the session, writing my notes, I got a nice, if not a laugh, I got a nice smile out of that one. I love it. And then at 112.51, Angelique sits down with crumbs. I think she sat down with 2K. And later, we bonded later. And I said, oh, you're all right. When you sat down with $8, I was like, who the hell is this? And she's just fucking great. She's wearing a shirt that says The Hope Under God, ... life. And that's thug life, The Hope Under God. And she was cool as shit. But anyways, at 112.51, she sat down. So she was about 45 minutes late to the show. And then I open King Jack offsuit and I fold to the 3-bet of Celine Dion's son. And he had king queen suited. And Drew got in there, and he had a second pair, and he bombed it. Like, so I've just seen him do this, like, bomb with bluff catchers and makes the ace-king fold not so bad, but the preflop was really bad when I made it 1,000, and we're going to be 3K effective with two in the middle. That was lame. And at 119.55, I call in the small blind with king-five offsuit. I think it's just a limper. And then the kid makes it 220. Who's the kid? That's Celine Dion's son. And she wrote, I think, maybe didn't write, but she sang a song from the movie The Titanic. You probably knew that already. So I'm definitely gambling. I'm spewing. I'm spewing pretty hard. And I'm just kind of like gambling and trying to catch a buzz and see some flops with some shitty hands. And is this, well, spoiler, I'm going to be playing a little bit tighter. Last night when I was taking notes on this shit, I'm in every hand, which means I have to pause every hand. I don't have time to take this many notes, so I'm going to play. My goal is to VPIP around 34%, just a little more than 1 out of 3. I don't need to VPIP more than 50%, which is what I'll end up doing on this night. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's if I ever get rich or out of debt, maybe I'll try and break Alan Keating's record of 86 or whatever. But I don't know. I was just playing a little too loose. And then DP opens under the gun, and he's deep, and he says he's inexperienced. And Barry calls. I'm going to call 4-3 offsuit. What if he has something and I make 2 pair or something? And Drew's in there and RC's in there. It comes 10-6 deuce. And it's rainbow. And there's 710 in there. And I'm on the button. They check to me. Seems like a good spot to bet my gut shot. Even though my image sucks, I bet 400. And RC, that's Celine's son, and Barry call. And I don't remember if it was Magic or Lauren in the box, but I said, hold on one second. And then I looked down across the table at RC, and then I looked over at Barry, and I said, hold on, guys. True story. That's sometimes they cut your mic, so I don't know if you could hear it when you're watching it. But I said that to those guys, and with that, the turn was a 5. You bet with 4-3 on 10-6 deuce, turn a 5, and that is gin. That is the joint. That is the nuts, and there is 19-10 in the middle, and I got two sticky poker players in there with me, and I have the worst image you can have. I mean, I have my whole career in full ring. And 19-10 in there, and I got the joint. They checked me, I bet 9-40, and they both fold. And it turns out neither of them even had a pair. They were both trying to pick up backdoor equity, neither did. And you can see I laugh at how lucky I got, and then also that no one even thought about calling. And then, this was gross. I wasn't involved, but Barry bet 2,000 into 1770 on 9-5 deuce, 2 spades, and Drew called with 4s, and Barry had jacks, and the turn was a 4, and Barry got stacked. That's pretty fucking unlucky. And Barry's huge bets get called. You'll see that I'm going to call big bets on the flop, and I don't know what. He had us tricked on this night. At 130-105, the 80 is on. So $10, $20, $20 big blind ante, $40 straddle, $80 straddle. And I go to 240 with, I think I asked Angelique if she wanted a double straddle, and she did. And that's when I started to love her. I don't remember my hand, but Drew went to 1,000 and I folded, and he had ace king. I think I had ace 10 or something, but whatever. Just, he's 3-bet me with better hands each time. Well, aside from when he had king-queen, and I 4-bet with ace-king, and he called. And just he was happy to go all in on jack-8-5, and just he can be tough to play against. Of course, not if I'm making better hands, but it's a bomb pot at 134.50, and I have king-4, and it comes king-king-deuce, 2 hearts, and it just checks around. Could bet here, but didn't. And then the queen of hearts comes, and I bet small. And Drew calls, no one had anything. Drew calls with 9-3 offsuit on king, king, deuce, queen. And I assume he had the 9 or 3 of hearts. And the river's a queen. And so I have a boat with king-4 and a bomb pot. I just go ahead and check here. There's no point in betting top boat in situations like this because you're not getting called by worse. I mean, you could get called by a queen, but a queen's going to probably value bet. Either way, it's just an easy check raise spot. And he bet 400 and I went to 1,100, just a small check raise, and he snap folded. He had nothing. He had 9 high. So I think I won the max there, given the hands that were dealt in the bomb pot. At 137.43 on the straddle, and I have 6 deuce offsuit, and Barry limps the button, and I make it 400 with 6 deuce offsuit, and he just rebought, and he's short. I'm just kind of doing that. Like, you just you got stacked, unlucky, you're short. You don't want to call the 10x raise. Oh, he calls. He has 490 left. I have 6 deuce offsuit, and it comes ace-8-deuce. Nothing to do here but go all in. And he called with queen-deuce, and we ended up chopping. And you can hear I'm blaming Magic. Magic actually bailed me out in this hand by us chopping. But I'm fake blaming him. And I think it's fine with him because you can see when I'm bullshitting with Magic, you can just see that he's just, like, on board with it. And I'm just, this is what I see when I watch back. And Lauren's not really. And I should not do that with her and maybe keep it going with Magic. Who knows? Or maybe I just don't need to include the dealers in the bits. But I do as a commentator. I think it's part of the show. I'm not sure. But me and Barry are having fun. It's nice to have a drinking buddy at the table. There's nothing more lonely. I mean, there is something more lonely, but it's very lonely to be in a full ring game and you're the only one drinking and joking around and everyone else is just, like, trying to play good. And I don't know. So here's a pretty good play. This is my other best play of the first half of the session at 1:44. So the show's an hour and 15 minutes old or whatever. Someone opens and I call in the small blind with pocket threes. I think maybe DP. Alan limped for 40 and Chad went to 200. And it was five-way action. I had pocket threes in the small blind. And it came 996. And the straddle, being RC, Celine Dion's son, led on 996 rainbow, led 330. And so this is just always a draw. This lead into the preflop raiser on the scary board, the paired board, it's always a draw. So my threes are good. And what he did is a good play in most poker games, as long as you don't have one person there that is going to figure out exactly what's going on. And that was me. And so they folded and I called. And the 996 and the turn was a good card, like a deuce or something maybe. And I checked and he checked. And I'm just going to check and, you know, win or check and call if, you know, a big card. Maybe hopefully like an ace comes off and he tries to bluff that. I will snap that off. The river's a six, however. So I get counterfeit. And now I have, I think it's 996, deuce, six. And I pocket threes. I have the worst possible hand. I just realized that. And now I have to turn my hand into a bluff. Instead of a bluff catcher, I got counterfeited. And so I bet 520, just an amount that I think reps a boat, both boats, the nine or the six, pretty well. And it's pretty good. It's just, it's nice. I actually don't give myself enough credit for knowing exactly what people have in hands a lot. And it is usually typically better players. Like RC is a pretty good player. And I executed well. It's not only like, okay, I'm calling here because he's leading into the preflop raiser. It's always a draw. It's either 7-8 or just one of the gut shots or whatever. And so I don't need to be raising here because he's even my hand just has shit equity even against those hands. It's just like a bluff catcher. It's better as a bluff catcher. And it's okay. You're going to get turned a lot. And I guess I could lead the turn, but you're just opening yourself up to a really tough spot against a player you've never played against. And anyways, I really liked it that I don't typically bluff with little underpairs because they don't improve and they get worse as you see here. But this was just an easy spot. He just has a straight draw on that flop, I think 100% of the time. And I don't think that's balanced him leading in there at all. And it shouldn't be. He probably prints money doing this shit, but it just, he got unlucky that I was there to exploit it by calling with the threes. And then the turn was nothing, went check, check. And then when I got counterfeit, not only do you have to bet here, but your bet has to make sense and it has to look like value. If you look like you're bluffing, that opens up the door for him to bluff, rebluff or call, whatever. So I liked it. And I told Magic that it just kept getting better and better. I ended up playing the board pretty much. I had the nut low. So now Raver's talking about what we're watching. So when I watch it back, I watch it like many people do without the chat on. And this is when he's talking about what we're seeing, it's really good. It doesn't even matter if sometimes it's not. Of course, the commentator's not going to know what the player's thinking sometimes, or we're going to miss why something's good or bad or whatever. But as long as the commentator's talking about what we're watching, that's the thing. It can't be about what's going on in the chat box because a lot of the people are not watching the chat box, and it becomes like two different things. You're seeing one thing and hearing. It's like you're watching TV and you're in old school where you used to turn the dial, and you're watching Channel 5, but you're hearing Channel 4. And so, when he was doing good here, when he's talking about the game, what we're seeing. And the next hand, Angie limps the cutoff. I go to 160 on the button with ace-nine offsuit. It's kind of standard. And Alan calls, and she calls, and they have cheese. And it comes ace-six-four, all clubs. I don't have a club. I'm gonna have top pair. I'm gonna bet here. I bet 300 in a 530. They folded. I showed the ace. Try and repair that image a little bit. And the next hand after that, Angie limps again. I limp with the 9-8 offsuit. I don't want to be isolating every single time. And Drew goes to 200, and we call. I have 9-8 offsuit. Comes ace 4-7. Angie leads. And I don't know if she likes to be called Angie, but it's easier in your notes to put Angie. Or yeah, she leads, and you hear me ask if this was a bomb pot. Because you don't, this is how you get stuck in pots with shitty hands. You limped, I'll limp a shitty hand. And then someone raises, and if everyone folds, you just fold. But now someone calls, and like, oh, fuck, now I'm putting in 200 with 9-8 off out of position. And it comes ace 4-7, and she leads, and I'm out of there. Worst play, number two. It's the next hand after that. Barry limps, and I limp 9-7 offsuit. That's fine in this game. It is, especially if your VPIP is, you know, you want to get it up. And Alan limps, and DP goes to 270. And Barry calls, and I'm going to call in position. At least I live in position with this cheese. And, you know, we're four ways. And it's 1140 in the middle. It comes 367 with two clubs. Barry's all in, the first two check, and Barry's all in for 540. This is an easy call for me with 9-7. I call, and Alan goes all in for 6,000 or something. And it's the same moment as that time I was against Beans when I had Jack 3 on Queen Jack 3, and he shoved, and I knew it was a combo. And if you know it's a combo, and you got the pair or two pairs in that other hand, but a pair here, you got to call, even though it's a lot of money. It sucks, but you got to do it. If you're playing against a range that you're either flipping against or fucking dead against, okay, well, you can fold not getting the best price in the world. But if you know you're just flipping, you got to call because there's extra cheese in there. And that was the case. I folded. And also, just like the Beans hand where he shoved, I think, King 10 of spades on the Queen Jack 3, two spades, Beans would have got there and Alan got there, made a flush. So it's just weird. A bad play leads to saving $5,000. But it's a call. And this one, both of them, I knew it, and I just didn't want to lose that money. And it's not like, I don't know. I just have to, I guess I'm reacclimating to playing bigger, especially like shorthanded and late night. But one thing I haven't reacclimated to is those tough calls where you know you're up against a combo and so you're about flipping, and it's, if you're wrong, you're dead. It's horrible to put in the 5K, or I think it was even more against Beans. But if you're not wrong, you know what's going on. You hand read. That's what's made you a winner forever. And I should have called, and again I would have lost. And it's just it carries over into the very next hand after that. I open a 120 with ace jack of spades, and Drew studies me and calls. I don't know why he's studying me, but he is. And Sparks calls. And that we have 410 in the middle. I have ace jack of spades. It comes 10-7 deuce with a spade. And Sparks checks, and I check. And I don't know why I check. I should be betting here. I just was thinking about the last hand. If I'm being honest, I was thinking about the last hand. And I check, and now Drew bets 500 into 410. He overbets it. It's not a strong hand. And it's like a, you know, it can be a good hand, but it can never be like something really great. And Sparks folds, and I call the two overs and the backdoor everything. And I am out of position, and I do a dark check. And, yeah. And the turn is the eight of spades. And he bets 400, does Drew. And so now I have a straight draw, a flush draw, and two overs. All right, I'm going to go to 1,400 and rep something big. You know, that small sizing, 3.5 out of position on the turn. That monster rep. And I have a lot of equity in case, you know, he doesn't fold. And he's not a great guy to bluff against. I should have bet the flop. And check calling the flops, whatever. And I should probably check call the turn or go bigger. But I was trying to, you know, play good poker and rep, like, good hands, which I would never go bigger with. I don't know, like, whatever. And he snap called. The river's a red queen. And so if he had a 10, a lot of times when people call that check raise on 10, 7, deuce, 8, they have a pair and a 9 in their hand, and a queen doesn't improve those hands. And so I bet 2,100, and he had queen 10. So it's kind of, it's spewy. I didn't play the hand well, but it's also lame. It's just running into weird shit, which I was doing. I've done a lot on this show. You're just running into the guy overbetting top pair on the flop, betting $100 less than that on the turn. And then he rivers top two, and he snap called the turn check raise. And most people don't, they have a 9 and a 10 or 9 and something, and they will fold to that extra over, to that over card out there. And it just looks valuey, but he has top two. So he called, and it's lame. I go for a walk, and yeah, come back, and I asked Magic if Ninja paid him from the night before. Because Ninja said, if you put a 10 on the river, he owes something. And he said, nah, he gave it to Ryan. So Magic's just on board with this shit. And I thought that was pretty funny. And yeah, so. And in this hand, Sparks had queens, and Celine Dion's son ran a two-barrel bluff on him with air. And it worked. And I come back in and straddle. And Allen makes it 200. Sparks calls. Angie calls. I call with 5-4 of spades. And there's 820 in there. And I flop. Nothing right. Yeah, that's right. But also, it checks around. And it doesn't seem like anyone flopped anything on Jack-Jack-7. In fact, it doesn't seem like anyone has anything. And the turn's a jack. Not a great card for me to be betting on. Because you're just, it's going to be a hard time selling quads. And if you're the guy that just tries to win all the pots where no one has anything, it's not great. But also, I got leverage. Allen's the one with the strongest range. He's the preflop guy. If I bet, he's going to have to decide with people behind. And then he's going to have to fold ace high or whatever he has. And then the guy behind him be like, well, he bet into the fucking guy there and four, three people. He must have something. And then the last guy, Sparks, is a very good player. And be like, this guy's not that stupid to not bet with like a seven here. I am. I had 5-4. It was jack, seven, seven. And I won a pretty nice pot for nut low, give or take. And it's pretty funny when I was watching this back. I order for me and Barry. You know, you order for your drinking buddy every time. Sometimes it's Darren. Sometimes it's Barry. And I said, anyone else at the table want anything? I got it. And I don't know who said it, but someone says Diet Coke. And I just thought that was fucking pretty funny when I was watching it back. It's, yeah, you guys drink your French connections. And I was drinking Crown and Diet and beer. And I'll switch to my favorite cocktail soon. And someone says Diet Coke. For the record, if I ever offer to buy the table drinks, it has to have alcohol in it. Fucking get your own Diet Coke. I don't even know who said it, but it was funny. And it was, I don't think it was a troll, but it was fucking funny. It worked as humor to me. I'm the big blind, the next hand. So I just play every hand, so that's why there aren't that many timestamps, because I just can say next hand. And then Barry limps button, and Angelique limps small blind, and I have ace-six offsuit, and I 10x that shit, and Barry calls. So I have 400, and we got about 1,000 in there. And it comes king-jack-5, all diamonds. I have the ace of diamonds. That's the nut flush draw. And I bet 420. And you can definitely, I think if I'm on my A game or even my B-minus game, I'm checking this flop and calling. Sometimes check-raising all in with the nut flush draw. And there's, it's not the end of the world to bet here either. It's not, but if I'm playing better, I check. And anyways, Barry ships, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. It's 4K or whatever more. And I got the nut flush draw, and honestly, I was thinking about, like, when people fold the nut flush draw on stream, it's a bad look on the flop, on a non-paired flop. And this is not the nut flush draw you want to have, because you have one. And if the other guy has a flush, it's really hard to flop a flush, especially when you limp call 10x. But if he does, then you only have seven outs. And but still, you're thinking like seven outs times four is like not the end of the world. And he doesn't have to have a flush. Barry could do this with, and then I'm thinking, you know, I want a full, but I'm thinking, what if he has queen 10 with queen of diamonds? Could king jack five all diamonds? I've seen him ship like this a bunch. I've seen people fold good hands. I think it's an off-stream fold and an on-stream. Well, you fucking made it 400 with ace six offsuit, and he limp called 40 to 400. Did he really flop a flush? And if he did, God bless him. And you're still gonna have, you know, you're just gonna be a 2-to-1 dog, and you're not getting that price. But so what? Against his range, it's pretty fucking close. And Raver says, "What are you doing, man? This is never a bluff." And like, I do think sometimes it could be a bluff. But what if he just has like king 10 or king something? What if he just flopped top pair and he's just all in because he doesn't want to see a diamond? Well, then I actually have the equity to be calling. And against his entire range, it's really close. And I tilt a little bit after, you know, I call and break out. And I say, hopefully this shit, or maybe I was just thinking, I was tilting when in my notes. Hopefully this shit will get short at some point so we can actually play poker instead of, you know, you just have a bad hand, you play it because, you know, it's called playing poker. It's not called folding cards. But you fold more than you play, way more than you play. So it should be called folding cards instead of playing poker. But I like to play poker. That's why I like shorthand. That's why I like heads up. You get to play. And anyways, again, Raver's saying the game's boring. It's okay. This is like the come down from the big night. But in general, no, man, make it. There's something interesting going on at all times. And focus on whatever you can find, I think. At 2:11:30, it's a bomb pot. I have 4-3 offsuit. Comes jack 9-3. We all check. Turn 6, check. River queen. 3 people bink to queen. No one bet. It was a boring. That was a fucking boring hand. It wasn't the most exciting game, but you gotta. There's some stuff going on that's interesting at the table always. And we're going to boost these lineups, make them more exciting for sure. There's going to be a committee working on that in the future. At 2:16:15, I open the hijack with queen, nine of spades. RC calls on the button. Turns out he had king, queen suited. And it makes sense to not three bet that hand every time on the button, depending on who's in the blinds and what have you. And Alan called, DP called, and Barry called. And so having king, queen of hearts in position, I thought this was a pretty savvy flat by him. And I had queen, nine of spades, and there's 620 in there. Comes the ace, 10-3 with one spade. We all check. The turn's the eight of spades. Alan bets 200, and DP calls. And Raver's talking about Sunday night, and I'm just, when I'm watching it back, and I call, I have a flush draw and a straight draw, and RC calls. He has a gut shot to the nuts, and that would have been bad. Yeah, if a jack came, that would have been real bad. I would have made the queen high flush, and he would have made the Broadway. Anyways, the river's a 10, so I didn't hit any of my draws, and they check. No one likes this. There's a lot of people in there, and we all called the turn. And whoa, guess who reps the 10? I do. I raised preflop and checked on ace 10-3, and then I called when someone bet, and so I rep it. And so I bet 2,100, the same amount I bluffed off with my other missed flush draw. My other missed fucking straight draw and flush draw with the ace jack of spades, I bet the same amount as a level. Just like, well, he wouldn't be betting that same amount as a bluff again. I don't know if it even matters, makes sense, but they all folded a better hand. All three of them had better hands than I did, and they all folded, and I showed it, and I said, this is a joke. So I'm starting to tilt. You're seeing a grizzled vet, and my man Maver, he's having like a podcast with the chat during this, and I get it. It wasn't the most interesting lineup or action, but I don't know. For me, it's hard to hear one thing and watch a different thing. So hopefully he will. There's plenty of time to talk and interact with the chat. It just has to be related to what we're seeing, I think. And then we take off. This show does. This Monday night's Max Payne Monday does. Yeah. So at 2:21:35, Angelique limps under the gun. I raise with jacks to 160. Alan calls, DP calls, and she calls. And so, you know, we have 730 in there, four-way action. I have jacks, 55% equity. It comes ace, 9-8, and all three of my opponents outflop me. And Angelique jams, and I fold before, like, her chips have even settled. and I tilt a little bit. She had 9-8, and DP had ace-7, and Allen had ace-10, and he called, and the river's a jack. I would have made a set. And just another note is, I've played with Allen Richardson in Vegas in bigger games and in the past, and haven't always seen eye to eye. I thought he did a good job on this night. I thought he was a good element to the show. He was funny, played fast enough, and yeah, maybe I'm in a better place, so I just liked him more. But I kept adding chips, and I forgot to tell the dealer each time. It was just like, do I have to tell you every time I add 2,000? The answer is yes. And so it's going to say I'm down less than I am. And anyways, I was just tilting and just being stupid. I said, Mr. Beast is coming. Just, it was a dumb thing to say. He wasn't in the lineup on this night. 228-19, DP opens to 320 in a 10-20-40. Opens to 320, Angelique calls, and this is a pretty good, I fold King 10 offsuit. So I don't fold King 10 offsuit to one raise, but when it's massive and it seems strong, and he had ace king and she had aces. And Raver, you kind of, what? You criticized her play. Don't, man, don't. There's merit to pretty much everything someone does. So should she had aces in the small blind, and someone made it huge. A conservative-type player made it huge. There's definitely merit to 3-bet. 3-bet's best because they have something they don't want to fold, and you guys might get all of it in right now, right? But there's also merit to flatting because of the squeezer behind you being me, but instead I just read the situation right and folded King 10 offsuit, and she also has a tight image, or a conservative image, not tight, but like, she doesn't seem like much of a squeezer, and there's merit to everything people do. Look for the fucking merit, I think, and then the chat will follow. They'll be less critical, and it's just poker's better when people are less critical, and that's just what I was thinking. I was watching back, and Drew has chirping chips, and he's saying he doesn't gamble. If you're playing poker, you're fucking gambling, man. Like, you called 2,000 with fours on 9... What was it? On 9-7 deuce, and Barry had jacks, and you hit a 4. We're gambling. I said, okay. And he said, no, this isn't gambling. I said, good, then you'll stay late. I'm just really worried about the game going. Because I know when it gets shorthanded, I have a fighting chance. And, yeah. So I said, Barry, we're playing late? And he said, yeah. I said, okay, good. Then I don't have to try and get even in the next couple hours. And I was just being honest. And also, I'm not criticizing Raver. I'm just trying to help him, and he's a patron. He's listening, and this is a public drop anyways. But I do the same thing where I talk about other shit, and so this is helping me as a commentator as well. It doesn't work. When you're in the booth, it works because you got the chat open on one screen, and you're watching the game. So you are talking about what's going on screen, but you're talking about something that's not going on for many people when you're just talking to the chat. And so I'm learning here too. You can talk about what the chat's writing as long as it applies to the game. And yeah, so 232.57. Sparks goes to 200 in the cutoff. Angelique calls. I call in small blind with 7-6 offsuit like a hero. That's what I wrote. It's a little bit loose, if I'm being honest. And Drew calls, and RC calls, and Alan calls. And I wonder if the graphics were off for this hand, because everyone had horrible hands. I wonder if it wasn't 200 or something else. Anyways, it came 5-3 deuce, and everyone checked. That's a 2 overs and a gut shot, and the turn was a king, and we folded, and I think Sparks had a king. And it says on the board, the cumulative winnings, I'm down 5,600. Well, guess what? I was down a lot more than that, or significantly more than that. I just kind of lost track of telling the dealer, 2,000 more, 2,000 more, just pulling it out of my pocket. 236.17, Chad opens under the gun. Chad had the lowest VPIP I've ever seen on this show. And yeah, he was card dead. He's just playing poker like he probably does in his card room. We all have those few hours where we're just not getting any hands. Well, when he opens under the gun, and I think he knows that I'm not nearly as bad as I'm playing, that I am capable of playing well, I 3-bet. And This is one of those levels, like when someone hasn't opened a hand, they finally open on the gun, and then I'm going to 3-bet because it looks so strong. I had king jack offsuit, and he folded. I think he might have had king jack also, but I announced that I had kings. And at 237-31, Barry limps. I go to 200 with queen 9 offsuit, and you can see my eyebrows coming up above my sunglasses. That's something I do often, and I didn't know it until I watched myself on stream. I think it's something to do with my contacts, or I don't think it's like a nervous tic. I think it's something to do with my contacts and bad vision. And what's funny is my day one, who lives in Vegas and has been crushing live poker for as long as anyone, and like one of the true world-class live players, said, "You raise your eyebrows when you have a good hand." And that's great. So he saw some good hand I had when I was raising my eyebrows. And then the two times I've seen it since, they've been dog shit hands. I don't think it has anything to do with my hands, but it's pretty funny. It came ace, king, deuce. And so I had isolated Barry with a queen nine offsuit. Ace, king, deuce, he checks. I check back. This is a good play against many, many, many players. Perhaps it's not great against Barry. The turn is a four. He checks. And now I'm going to delayed c-bet like people would do with an ace or a king. And he snap calls. And the river's a three. And it doesn't make sense to bet now. Am I repping a five? And so I just give up. And he's pretty sticky mode. He already got unlucky. And he had sevens. So whatever. Lost a flip. Can't get people to fold anything. It's one of these games. At 244-30, I limp. I'm going to adjust now. I'm gonna limp. And this is how I should be playing in these games. I should be limping almost everything early position. And when I play 10, 20, 40 downstairs, it's different. You got some good players in there, and so they're going to be. That means they're going to be folding to your opens, and like so, you're going to get it. The big blind's going to defend, or the straddle's going to defend, and then that's a good situation. But here, no one's folding, so I'm going to start limping some hands, and I limped. I had 9-8 offsuit, and DP went to 120. I already saw him go to 300 and something with a really good hand. It seemed like not that great of a hand. Barry called, Angelique called. He went to 120. I'm going to go to 1200, and. And because I limped under the gun, the graphics guy, I don't know if it was Brett. It's usually Brett, but sometimes he takes Mondays off. But they can never get it right when I start limping under the gun because they just don't expect that because people don't do that very often. And so I kind of, you see there's a little pause here. And you know, I can tell what's going on when Lauren's saying, yeah, he called 40 and then he went to 120. They called and he went to 1200. And I said that the graphics are wrong. This isn't my actual hand. When I had 9-8 off, just being stupid. And another commentary note, I think it's okay to talk about things that aren't, you're going to have to talk about big events coming up or things that just happened, like that Mr. Beast show. And I don't mean to be critical aside from trying to help improve him in the show. I think it's in between hands. That's the time to do it because there is time in between hands where it's a hand shuffle game. And especially in bomb pots. And I don't know, I'm saying it just as much for me as him. The next hand, Alan goes to 140, DP calls, Barry calls, Angelique calls. I have ace queen offsuit and I go to 840. Ah, good. I've been squeezing and I finally got a good hand in a good squeeze spot. This old thing, well, DP and Barry call. So they're gambling and it comes queen 8-7. Oh, I flop top pair. And I bet. 860 and Barry calls and it feels like he's in trouble. Well, of course I have ace queen. It's queen 8-7. It does not seem like he has two pairs set and the turn's an eight. There's a 4550 in there. The turn's an eight and this is a check because he could definitely have an eight. And if he doesn't, I'm just in really good shape to get a ton on the river and I'm 92%. He had queen jack and I'm 92% to win about 5K pot, and I'm going to get more. I'm going to get probably his stack on like a deuce river, and the river's a queen, and I think we're chopping, and I hate it, and I check. You should just always check here. Just you can't get value from anything. If you had an 80 bet the turn, you can get him to bluff with some shit. There's just no point in betting, and so I check. And he bets 2,000. And I want to just Tank Call to slow roll him with top full house. And I know he has a queen. I know he had a worse queen and got lucky in this massive pot. And I want to just only call just for the slow roll value of it. And then I'm thinking, fuck, well, I'm back. This isn't my money. I have backers. They know I'm going to play much worse on stream than off stream. But this is too much. What if my read is wrong? What if he has an eight? I have to go all in and try and get him to call. And I go all in, and he calls and turns over a queen. And then I try to slow roll from there. And Barry's having fun, man. He's a great fit for this show. And I kind of run dick on stream, if you think about it. And again, I told Lauren, great job. I need to chill with that shit. I need to leave her out of it and only berate Magic. Magic's the one to berate. And I don't mean it with any of them, but if it comes across wrong, then it's stupid. And now there's a promo for the games I run downstairs, and Raver fucking murders it. He's got a great voice, great energy when he's into it, and he just kills it. And it was just really good. And it's a little weird that I'm not only talking about my session, but also the commentary, but that's the story. I'm a poker player and a commentator and a podcaster and some other shit too. Anyways, there's a bomb pot, and I have ace-10 offsuit, and this is pretty funny. I bet 130 on ace-9-4. Why? Because we do bomb pots in our 10-20, 40 game, or it's 10-20, but usually the 40's on. And we do $50 bomb pots, and so I was thinking, and they take 15 for time for 45 minutes, which is a good deal. So you just do 35 times however many people at the table. And I was thinking that's why I bet so small, and I forgot we did 100. It's just something that happens. You're tired, you don't sleep, and sometimes you play where it's $50 bomb pots, 100, whatever. Anyways, ace-9-4, I bet 130, and Angelique called. And it turns out Jack, I bet 300, and she called. And the river's a king for ace-9-4, Jack, king, and backdoor flush got there, and she led 300 into me. And what do I know about this lead? It's not, she didn't make something huge on the river, but she could have two pair, or God, she could have a chop, or I guess she could have a better ace. All I know is that she has something that isn't super strong. And so I have ace 10 and I have the ace of hearts. I'm blocking the nut flush draw and the nut flush, and I have a 10 to rep the straight. I go to 3,000. This is pretty good. It turns out she had a worse hand than me. I don't remember what, but when I'm playing my A game, I'm not saying I was, I just clear out everything. Like, well, I can call here and win a good amount, or I can make it this huge number that she doesn't want to call with her entire range, and I just win for sure. Just, it's mine, no matter what. And so I kind of like it. And it's a, next hand's a limper. We all limp in there on Chad's $100 straddle, and I have queen seven of diamonds in there. He makes it 900, fold. And Barry's talking about Michael Jackson. I tell him he used to watch my kids when they were younger, just being stupid. And Raver's talking about a video game. Dude, if you make what you're talking about the same thing people are seeing on their screen, you're going to kill it. But you're talking about video games, well, something entirely different's going on. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, I get distracted, but it was pretty funny. I was buried, but the graphics were off a little bit because I didn't announce every time I added on, which is a common thing. I need to start doing it. And he says DGAF clawing back to even. I thought it was, again, it wasn't trying to needle me, but it was hilarious. And anyways, part 3 of 3 of this episode is going to be public as well this week, because I'm feeling generous, and you can listen to that shit right now. It's already published.
Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.